you know, we're obviously we have a lot of work to do here to get familiar with the Raiders. It's a team that we don't know very well, and you know, haven't played against his coaching staff. And even though we've seen a number of these players on different teams, this is kind of our first shot at them. You know, with the Raiders, there's certainly a lot of very good, very experienced players on this team. But, you know, guys like, you know, Woodley and Tuck, you know, Brown and Rogers, we saw at San Francisco, Woodson, you know, guys like that coming from other teams, guys that are very experienced, had good careers, and, you know, kind of the same thing on the offensive side of the ball with, you know, Jones, Penn, Jones-Drew, guys like that. So we've got a lot to study up on. I think they also have some very good draft choices. You know, Carr, Jackson, Mack have all been positive, had positive impacts for him. Carey, you know, defensively and in the return game. Ellis, McGill. So they've got some good young players as well as obviously a very experienced group of guys on that team. So those are some of the things that we've got to work on here to be ready this week.
I'm curious how you view the distribution of targets in the receiving game. One line of thinking, I guess, is, you know, if Julian is playing as well as he is, keep throwing it to him. And another is maybe, you know, you don't want all the ball, not all of them, but the majority of them going there. I'm sort of curious how you view it based on the first two games.
Well, I think, you know, offensively we could certainly, you know, stand to get a lot more balance into our attack overall, period. So we didn't have it in the run-pass ratio in Miami, and didn't really have it enough of it in the passing game last week, or really for Miami, you know, for that matter. So we got to do a better job of, as a coaching staff, you know, I got to do a better job of, you know, creating a little more balance, you know, on our team offensively with our personnel, our play calling, our plays, and so forth. And if we have a lot of good players, we got to be more effective utilizing all of them.
Bill, I just wanted to ask you about their quarterback, Derek Carr, and some of the challenges he might present your defense. And I'm also wondering how you might prepare for a rookie quarterback when it's so early in the season like this. Is there enough tape to go off of through 2 weeks of the regular season and the preseason? Or will you guys go back and kind of mine some of your pre-draft evaluations of him as well?
Well, I'd say definitely both. We, you know, did a good evaluation of all the you know, all the players in the draft, and you know, we got a good look at Derek at Fresno, and you know, his athleticism, arm strength, you know, just ability to get the ball down the field and you know, avoid negative plays in the pocket, with athleticism, you know, mobility and some running ability too. You know, are all things that we saw in college that I'd say are showing up this year in the NFL as well. You know, he's only been sacked a couple times. He's an athletic guy back there. He can certainly get the ball down the field. You know, he's a smart kid. So I think all the things that we saw from him at Fresno, you know, then when he's had an opportunity to do them in this league, have continued to show up. And obviously the systems are different, but from a skill standpoint, I think his skills are his skills. And they're pretty good.
Bill, it's a little bit less football-oriented, but I'm curious your perspective. When there are as many off-field issues swirling about, you have people in our business walking around trying to get information or perspective. Do you instruct your players at all on what is appropriate to comment on or what they should, you know, sticking to their field of expertise? I think it's interesting
when we appeal to people who happen to wear football helmets on all week long to comment on social things. What's your perspective on that, I guess, is what I'm asking more than anything else?
I'm not sure I understand the question. My perspective on
what exactly. Do you feel as if your players should be commenting on things? Do you give them the latitude to comment when asked about social issues that are brought into the forefront by activities or incidents around the league?
Well, I mean, of course, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. It's a free country. That's what everything in our country is based on. So I think we all understand that there's going to be a variety and a diversity of opinions on just about anything that is talked about. So I think that's part of society. I'm sure it's part of our group of the people that comprise our team and probably every other team. So I wouldn't expect it to be any different, especially when you have a football team that has people of all different, so many different backgrounds. I don't know how you want to look at it, socially, geographically, economically, racially, so forth. Different beliefs. I mean, it's a wide spectrum of people that sit in that room. So I'm sure there are a lot of diverse opinions in there. But, I mean, we're all here for one reason, and that's, to come together and work and compete and win football games. So that's really what our job is when we all walk into the building. And then we all have separate lives when we walk out of it. I don't know if that answers your
question. Sorry, I wasn't too articulate on the initial question. I appreciate it. That's what I was kind of asking about. Thank you.
Sure.
Bill, if memory serves me correct, that your coaching staff kind of views a fumble as a fumble, whether your team retains possession or not. But I was wondering whether you consider there to be a difference between, say, a player who fumbles a punt when he's trying to field it versus a player who maybe get the ball knocked out from behind while he's running down the sideline alone.
I'm not really sure I understand what you're asking. I mean, of course they're different. It's two different plays. But
you treat it differently, I guess is what I'm saying. In other words, because maybe there's a higher degree of difficulty of catching a punt in traffic, maybe there's an acceptance level of fumbles there versus nobody should ever have a ball knocked out from behind when he's running down the sideline. Just an example. I mean, maybe a guy's in the clear over the middle and he fumbles when he's, by himself. But just wondering whether you attach a degree of difficulty to plays when you assess ball security in those areas.
I mean, it's probably a lot longer discussion than we have time for, but I would say, to summarize my personal philosophy, first of all, ball possession and ball security is at the absolute top of the list when it comes to winning, losing football games. So we're going to do everything we can to get it, and we're going to do everything we can to protect it. So that would be number one. And that means above all else. So there's nothing more important than taking care of the football. There's not, there's whatever else is happening on the play. Ball security and ball possession doesn't fall below anything else. I mean, we're at the National Football League, and it's a pretty high level of proficiency at this level. And I don't think we would send somebody out to catch a punt that we didn't think could catch it. I mean, we're not going to put silver silica back there to return punts. I mean, the guys that go back there to return punts and catch kickoffs and catch passes, take the ball from the quarterback and snap it to the quarterback or the punter or whoever it is. I mean, those are all highly skilled players, and we wouldn't put them in those positions if they weren't accomplished at doing it. And part of their job is to take care of the ball. So I don't know how to put it any other way, and that's their job. I mean, I don't think you put a pitcher out on the mound in major leagues if you didn't think you could throw it over the plate. I don't think that's asking too much. So there are some plays in football that are maybe the ball possession is, I won't say unavoidable, but maybe it's part of football. Sometimes there are going to be certain plays, certain situations where ball's going to come out. Maybe when you take every precaution that you can possibly take to secure it, maybe it comes out anyway. But I would say that over the long haul, those situations are few, and the more common occurrence is either poor or sloppy ball handling or ball security, or in some cases an exceptional defensive play, maybe with a combination of less than ideal ball security. So I guess that's the way I see it.
So I'm not sure, but do you know how this new drug policy, which seems imminent, might affect Ryan Timms or Brandon Browner? And if so, is that something you could share with us, how it might affect their status?
Certainly not anything I could share with you, because I don't have any idea. I have no knowledge of it at all. Zero. So you'd have to talk to the league and other people that are involved with that. And the drug policy in the NFL is an extremely confidential and sensitive area. I would say that in most cases, you probably know more about it than I do, and certainly probably more in advance because of the great sources that you have, Mike. We don't have any knowledge, input, or really involvement whatsoever in the league's drug policy. And any information that we get comes, you know, from wherever it comes from. I don't even know where it comes from. I mean, you know, I'm not even sure exactly how the process works from the other end. I just know that when we receive information, then we act on it as we receive it. And it's not anything that I'm involved in whatsoever, other than being the recipient of the information of, you know, suspension, or if it's revoked or amended or adjusted or, you know, whatever. I'm just the recipient of that information. I'm not in any way, shape, or form whatsoever involved in any part of the process. So whatever happens, when it's announced, when we know about it, then we'll deal with it. Until then, it's 100% out of our hands, and that's something that you should address with league people and not with an individual club, certainly not our individual club, because we have no part in it whatsoever.
Coach, I just wanted to ask you about Nate Ebner. He saw some significant time in the secondary this week, and I'm just wondering if that's a sign of growing confidence in him, and how you've seen him grow as a player in these 3 years.
I'd say it's, you know, yes on both accounts. We certainly have a lot of confidence in Nate, and we've seen Nate grow and improve. You know, I would probably put him in not the all-time top, but maybe in the top 5% all-time of, you know, players that I've coached, from where they were in college to what they, you know, how they grew in the NFL. You know, Nate had almost no defensive experience at Ohio State. He's adapted in a relatively short amount of time, you know, going into his third year, so it's really 2-plus years. Adapted very well to the knowledge of our defense, to the understanding of opponents' offenses, to instinctiveness and reading and recognition at a position that he plays, you know, right in the middle of the field, which is, you know, among the most difficult, inside linebacker and safety, where the volume and the number of things that can happen are the greatest. We have to really see, you know, everybody on the field, all 11 guys. So you know, his development has really been outstanding. And I think that Coach Flores, you know, has done an excellent job training him. And I think Nate's worked very hard, and a playtime that he's earned defensively has come through his, you know, hard work and performance and consistency. And it's really, really been good. We have, I think, a number of good players at that position. There's a lot of competition there, and there's not an unlimited number of opportunities for all those guys, but we have a lot of confidence in that position. They all played solid roles for us last week defensively as well as in the kicking game. I think we're very fortunate to have the quality of players that we have at that position, but Nate has, I'd say, far exceeded our expectations defensively based on what, you know, what he had coming out of college. You know, players like Steve Neal, with zero experience, Castle, very little playing experience at Southern Cal. You know, guys like that, Nate, really very little defensive experience at Ohio State. I mean, for those guys to, you know, become the type of players that, and I'm not putting him in that class yet, but I'm saying, but the evolution and development, you know, for guys like that is pretty significant relative to, you know, a lot of other players who have just had a lot more opportunity than guys like that have.
And Bill, I just wanted to ask you quickly about Dennis Allen, who's obviously a pretty young head coach, but has sort of a defensive background. He was in Denver, I know, and New Orleans. He's a secondary coach, I think. And so I'm wondering if, you know, from what you've seen from the Raiders so far, if there are any characteristics of his defenses that jump out at you.
Well, they're very aggressive. You know, they have a lot of different, they have a lot of good players, a lot of very experienced players. They give you, multiple looks and, different blitzes and pressures, mixtures of man and zone, man zone and pressure, man pressure, zone pressure. You know, it's a lot of four-man line, but, you know, they use Mac as a defensive end at times, and you know, he's sort of a, you know, linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call him. But there's times when he's involved in coverage as well from that defensive end position, so that gives him some flexibility as well. And I think you know, he gives his players the ability to play, you know, instinctively and be able to. You know, like Woodson, you know, just doing things like reminiscent of Ed Reed type of things, you know, where just making instinctive plays. So there's a level of discipline to the defense, but at the same time, there's a level of instinctiveness that it looks like, you know, he's given his players the opportunity to see and react and, you know, make plays based on their experience and their ability to instinctively react on the field. You see that from guys like Woodson and Tuck and Carlos Rogers and, you know, guys like that, that sometimes they don't quite do it by the book because they've seen something, they recognize, anticipate, whatever it is, and, you know, are able to do the right thing that they need to do to, you know, to make the play or to mess up the offensive play. So I'd say those are some of the things that we notice about their defense. And they're big, they're fast, they're athletic, and they're very experienced. I mean, obviously Mack, but, you know, Brown, Rogers, Woodson, Branch, I mean, I don't know, there must be 40 years of experience in the secondary. It's like 17 with Woodson, right? So it's probably over 40 years. You know, Tuck, Sims, Antonio, Smith, Woodley, and there's going to be 35 years of experience there, whatever it is. So, I mean, they've got a lot of experienced players on the field. And you know, I think that works into a coach's favor to be able to, you know, do some things, you know, without, but with the confidence that those guys can handle it.